The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We are frazzled. Matt's just getting settled in. I'm in a hotel.
Jimmy!
Okay, let's talk about, Matt, this Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett main card.
I was going to say, where do you want to start? But go ahead. I mean, it's insane.
Dude, let's start with this, because first of all, poor Joe Lazon, that fight with Cowboy, day of is canceled because his knee locked up. Dana has said it will not be rescheduled. I'm kind of bothered for both of those guys, but let's start the co-main event. What do you think about the co-main? Kevin Holland became the co-main, and Tim Means.
I know you thought he'd win a decision.
Holland by decision, yeah, because Tim Means is very tough.
You were wrong.
Yes, I was. And Tim Means hits really hard. He's very strong, very experienced fighter.
But hey, listen, Kevin Holland, it seemed like Tim Means never got in that fight. And Tim Means is as tough as they come. Very game. He seemed behind in every aspect in that fight. And I picked him to win.
You did, yeah.
You know, he's very scrappy. And I thought they're both well-rounded. And I thought maybe he'd have a little something on the feet that he could possess a problem for Kevin. But I think Kevin is just so – I think he should stay at 170.
Dude, at welterweight, he looks it's obviously not depleting anything because he looks fucking incredible at 170.
In every aspect of that fight, from the grappling, the clinch, the striking, it just looked like a matter of time. You know, Tim never got it going. And that's partly because of Kevin, man. Kevin's hard to hit. He rolls with his punches. He comes back with his own. He's lanky. He's a Travis Luter black belt. I mean, shit, dude. He's looking phenomenal, man.
What an incredible – Kevin Holland is so interesting because he fought six times and he was 6-0 in 2020. And then he lost decisions to Brunson and Vittori. Obviously, there's no disgrace to losing to those guys. That Kyle Daukaus headbutt, which wound up being the no contest. So he did not win a fight in 2021, and now he's 2-0 in 2022. It's like almost like at the beginning of the year, you know what kind of year he's going to have. But I'm really happy for him. That drop down to welterweight seems to have reignited him, and he looks now like he looked in 2020, which is fairly unbeatable at this moment.
He's looking phenomenal, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, I don't want to jump all over the place because we could stay with the main you want, but just to look, I mean, with the prelims, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stoppages.
Crazy.
1, 2, 3 of those, 4 of those were in the first round. I mean, it was insane. Let's start from like the bottom down with the prelims, if that's cool.
Okay.
Roman Dola Dizzle. No, I'm only kidding. How do you pronounce Rose's last name?
I believe it's Delize.
Delize. It had nothing to do with Dola Dizzle. Delize.
Devastating whatever Kyle Daukaus.
Now, Kyle, that knee, like that knee from the clinch, we've seen it before. Sometimes guys will leave their head there and guys would go to kick knee them. Yeah. And guys would catch that knee and take them down from there, believe it or not. The guy up against the cage. They leave their head, they go to kick, they hook the leg. But I don't think I ever saw such a well-placed knee up against the cage from that position.
Didn't they talk about how flexible his hips looked to be able to have done that from the position he was in? Yeah, that was really, that was the lights out.
The sound it made.
Yeah.
And the only thing worse if it was at the apex, you would have heard it worse. But it was so loud that it just sounded like somebody hit somebody with a bat. It was disturbing. They played the replay. I'm like, dude, I don't even think I want to see this the third time. This is fucking brutal. So, I mean, I thought his face was caved in. But he looked okay afterwards. And shoot, man, what could you say? That was just a phenomenally well-placed knee. And,
yeah.
And I believe Kyle was the favorite. And, you know, I think Roman was saying that, like, in a previous fight, Michael Bisping was saying that he was being just too much of a grappler. And he made references to that. So he got excited on the mic afterwards. And he was saying that he could finish people and knock them out. And it's funny. He's like, but everybody, and you thought he was going to say something like a rhyme. But I could knock people out. It's like, what the fuck? All right. No. I mean, he's like, it wasn't any, he was just very excited. So I don't know. I was like, I always going to say my nipples on.
But you meant to say the juice is flowing.
They got my juices flowing, man. I got excited. I was like, yeah, like that.
I'll be honest. I can't, the spinning elbow, I know we're jumping. I think that was Ramos over Daniel Chavez. Am I crazy? That spinning elbow?
You're not crazy. You know why? Because we found him on The Ultimate Fighter. Ricardo Ramos versus Daniel Chavez.
Right.
Now, and it's not the first one he did. And he's known for doing this. So people know to train for him. You'd be like, all right. Like Nick Diaz said to Carlos Condit back in the day, you know, you're doing that spinning shit. You know, you got to watch out for that spinning shit. So
yeah,
he knew. He leads him right into it. And I'll tell you, he just wasn't giving him enough respect to keep him off. He was just in his face.
Yeah.
And he set that up beautifully. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I felt bad for Chavez because he did not know he was out. He wasn't
being right. Yeah. He looked very confused. Like, what the fuck happened?
He was just like, yo. The lights went off, then they went on. And he's like, hey, what happened? What do you mean? I'm here to fight. Meanwhile, the fight's over. You know? So, yeah, I'm sure he saw the replay. He was like, oh, okay. But, wow. Wow.
What about, I really can't think of a better night of fights that I've ever watched. Dude, I mean, there's been bigger fights. But when you look at just, like, fight by fight by fight, Phil Hawes, Deron Wynn, second fight of the night on the goddamn prelims. Deron Wynn, even though he dropped that fight in the second round TKO, Herb Dean stepped in because he's just too tough to, he just saw that he was taking too much punishment. Deron Wynn, the fact that the fight had to be stopped while he was still standing.
Jimmy, yeah. I have a question here.
Sure, buddy.
Now he's very good friends with DC.
DC, yes.
Cormier, and they were even talking, oh, it's like my little brother fighting. Sometimes that's difficult, though, you know. When you're watching your little brother fight, he knows how hard he went into it. Now they're wrestlers. They know what they that's I mean, there. He even helps coach the wrestling with DC. He loves the coach, Deron Wynn. When you see his frame, now the guy's my height, 5'6". I'm not calling for welcome.
Right.
He's fighting. Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were damn right. Sorry, Jimmy. I'm getting flashbacks from that dwarf boy. What the hell, Jerry? I love it.
No, but it's a noticeable thing at middleweight. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the height's a noticeable thing, but it's one thing if he's like that and ripped. I'm not saying he's not in shape, but you don't think he, as a wrestler, what did he wrestle at? Well, wait. You don't think he can't make 170? Because look at how powerful, look how dangerous and durable he is at 185. Why could he not make? He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
What? And you see him. I can pinch a little. I can go. I'm not going to do it to him. It might be a fight. I'll do it to you. Because you're not going to do that.
I wouldn't mind. I'd giggle.
If you have a little belly, I'll just do like little Pillsbury dope. You know. But anyway, I'm not going to do that to him. But
no, I wouldn't
do it to him. I can grab it. I can grab his little love handles and do a drop of Sayanagi. Anyway, I should have left that one out.
No, you shouldn't. That's the highlight. That's the promo for the episode.
Boo! Jimmy, he could make 170. I don't know why he is not making 170.
I can only guess because Phil Hawes was the first round. Phil Hawes was landing every fucking thing. I mean, everything landed, and he doesn't go down. So maybe when he is depleted when he drops the weight, because it didn't seem to he was hurting Phil a little bit when he landed. It had to be stopped while he was standing up. Phil just outstruck him and had a tremendous amount of reach, and he couldn't seem to close that distance to take him down. But, I mean, he seemed like he could handle 185. It was just a distance issue.
It's not that he can't handle it, but couldn't he handle it a lot better at 170? He's dealing with guys a lot. I mean, there's a big difference, dude. I fought at 170. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The guy, I'm 5'6". You stand me next to Wyman and I'm up to their chest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, this is an uphill battle for this guy. No pun intended. He needs to really, I think he'd be a fucking force at 170. And you saw, did you see a little drama afterwards with,
I was just going to say that, yes. Phil Hawes in DC. No, because Phil Hawes looked so devastating in that fight. Again, even though Herb stepped in and just kind of protected Deron Wynn, he had sent after to DC as he was walking up. And I think there might have been a commercial coming. You picked the wrong guy. Yeah, you. He was kind of confrontational with DC. And DC is just still, I think for a second he forgot that this was the former heavyweight champion and the former light heavyweight champion. And DC immediately became a cage DC and said, I don't pick fights. Be respectful.
Put his hand out at him.
Like, almost, yeah.
Like the force. Like,
and I think Phil immediately realized this may have been an error.
This is the thing with DC. He's a guy that when I see him, he's affable. You want to hug him. Nice guy. Teddy bear. He's always joking around with Habib. It's fun. Yeah. He's a fun guy. But listen, that guy's a bad motherfucker. Like, yes. He's going to disrespect him. It doesn't. And no, what it shows you, it just shows you that it's who he is. Like, if you've seen him also with Jake Paul, he's seen him, he grabbed him by the neck. Hey, look, dude, don't be fucking. He went in his face and he told him, dude, don't be calling me. Don't be saying shit to me. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you know what he used to do for a living at the highest level, at the highest weight. Yeah. So what are you? What are you doing? And I think Phil caught it. Listen, I think Phil was hurt. If I heard some of his post fight press conference, and he was saying how he kind of looks up to DC and he was hurt. He was kind of like, I think he was hurt that DC was like so like count like be, I don't know. Not that he was backing up his boy, but like I don't know. Like he felt that he was getting counted out. But it's interesting when you heard DC talk to him. He's like, look, you see what happened. I was trying to avoid this fucking fight. He actually said something like that, though. So it's wild, you know?
He said, yeah, you didn't beat me. Didn't he say that to DC?
He said that to him. I see what happened. I didn't want this fight. We all see what happened. I mean, I don't know if you caught that, but.
No, I didn't catch that line. I loved him. And he apologized to DC in the moment. I think he realized like, hey, this was maybe I shouldn't have said that. He goes, all right, I apologize. And it kind of got squashed. But yeah, people, Daniel is such a nice guy. And he's very likable and he's funny and he has a sense of humor about himself. And he's this really a likable announcer, but people forget that he will throw you through a fucking brick wall. Don't forget who Daniel Cormier is. Anyway, it looks like our guest is here. This guy is going to be around for a long time,
Jimmy.
And we might be talking to a future champion. Yes, sir.
Adrian Yanez. Do you know why he's on this show today? Not only because of what he did over the weekend, but it's because I said I wanted him on.
Yes.
I asked Antonio. I sent him a picture of his Instagram. I go, get him on here now.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like asking.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up?
Hey, buddy.
I was telling Jimmy, hey, do you know why Adrian's on? It's not just because what he did over the weekend. It is, basically. But it's because I wanted him on. I go, get him on. And then Jimmy goes, yeah, okay. I go, no, Jimmy. He didn't believe me. This is to Antonio. Look, ready?
I believe you.
He's in. Oh, he's in. He's already in. Look at this. I sent him the Instagram picture of him. I go, get him on. I go, Antonio, make it happen. And they made it happen. They must have did it right away.
Oh, yeah. It was like immediate. Yeah, I got messages immediately. So I was like, all right, this is perfect.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank 100%. You so much. Thank you so much.
Doesn't it make it better? Because it gave me like flashbacks, like Frank Trigg. When you're fighting a douchebag, I don't know if this guy's a douchebag or not, but he got under your skin. And I'll tell you this much, Jimmy. Adrian's been out to Long Island. He's friends with Aljo and Marab and them. He's been down to Laws, been to Sarah BJJ. He was training out here. And he's like this, the nicest fucking guy.
Yeah.
So I like seeing a little bit of a fucking. What a night. What a fucking night, man. How do you feel, man, being in your hometown?
Man, it was amazing, man. Like, just the fact that I was able to top it off with the nice little emphasis on it, you know, was amazing, man. My son was in the crowd. I was super excited. Oh, man, I was jumping for joy right after, man. So, oh, man, everything just felt like it lined up perfectly for me, man.
You looked so good in that first round. And then, you know, towards the end of that, right before you dropped him, he looked like he was coming back. Like, he's a tough guy. And that straight front kick of his seemed to be doing actually more damage for him than good. Did you guys have any animosity at all before this? Or was it only his comments that he had made about Brazilians, and a lot of people were pissed off to get caught in a hot mic saying that. How did you feel about him before the fight? Was there any personal animosity?
Honestly, I was you know, he said what he said, but I was being a little bit more understanding towards his, towards how, when he said it, because he's watching his girlfriend get punched in his face, man, like punched in her face. So like, I'm like, bro, I get it. You know, I do look at you sideways. So that's the first thing you go to, but I get it. I 100% get it. And you know, I guess he was reading a whole bunch of like MMA media, like clickbait news, like the clickbaits, and saying like, oh, I want to knock him out for bigotry and all that stuff. Like, if you actually listen to the interviews, I cut the guy slack and just being like, it is a little bit of bigotry of him, like trying to like say dirty positions and all that stuff. You know, I do look at you sideways, but I understand why in the heat of the moment, in the heat of battle, you're seeing your significant other get punched in the face, losing a fight. Like, I get it. I understand. But he took it and was like, started going off and like started calling me like a wish version of Masvidal, starts talking shit, saying like, yeah, so I was, and I was like, all right, dude, you're starting to talk that shit. And I'm like, I felt like I've been very cordial. And next thing you know, like I'm there having my moment, and on the ceremony of weigh-ins, I see my kid in the stands and I'm like so fucking excited. And next you know, I just had this guy just chirping at me while I'm on the scale, and just hearing, he's like, get that ass down here, boy. And I'm like, okay, now you got me. Now you got me. I'm having my moment with my kid and you're just ruining that. And then he starts talking shit, and then I get in his face, and I was like, bro, next time just make weight. And he starts trying to justify that about not making weight. And I was like, bro, like, dude, stop it. We're here. It's like, I'm going to go out there. We're going to fight. And like, we're just talking shit, a whole bunch of FUs and that going back and forth. And then not only was it at the ceremonial weigh-ins, but like even like backstage of those weigh-ins, he was waiting for me and the security guards were trying to back him up, but he was just trying to talk to me. He was trying to talk to me. And next thing you know, he was like, man, but I'm coming after you tomorrow. And I was already so like mad at that point. I said, man, I'm still going to knock you the fuck out, bro. like, just stop. And he got pissy, walked away. So, and then just seeing how he went about everything, flicking off my crowd, like I got a little bit like heated off of that, but had to stay cool, calm, and collected though, to get that win. Cause he's a tough fight. Like, he's a tough fighter, whether I like him or not, you know, he's still a tough fighter. So I had to be on my P's and Q's.
It's like, he couldn't get your respect. And you know, you were giving him respect, but the counter punching was just so crisp and accurate. It's like, you knew it was a matter of time that you were going to land that sequence with somebody so dangerous. Why was there no hesitation? What were you? I know you respected him because you knew what he did, even what he did with Randy Costa. When it looks like he gets caught and then he comes back. What was it, the sparring? What makes you throw caution to the wind like that? and be right in his face. It looked so, I'm telling you, man, you looked so professional in there. And it looked like a different level. Like it's just a matter of time you're in his face and you're going to land what you landed. And you didn't look surprised when you landed it.
Yeah, no, I know I have some of the best striking in the world, man. And especially whenever you're going, like I've went with the best in the world and I've trained with some of the best in the world. So like that to me is just enough confidence to look across the cage and be like, dude, this guy ain't no Aljamain Sterling. He's no Merab. He's no Rafion Stotts or anything like that. He's like, he's none of these guys that I've faced before. So it's like, of course I had to be on my P's and Q's because, you know, everybody's dangerous, but he's not those guys. And so it's like, those guys are really good. They're phenomenal. They're animals. And I look across and I didn't see that in him. You know, he was a bully. He's that bully type. And, you know, when you bully the bully, that's exactly what you get, you know?
So, well, you have an ability to take punishment too. That Costa fight, that first round, he was really looking good. And towards the end of the round, you started putting it together really well. And maybe he got a little bit tired or whatever, but it was really interesting just to watch you shut him down. And then the next thing you know, he's just protecting himself. Was there one shot to the body that stopped him? Do you know which one of the shots stopped him? Because it was weird to watch him just kind of collapse down with his hands in front of his head like that.
Yeah, so there was actually like a whole like couple sequences that even led to that stoppage, because I noticed at the end of the first round my body shot was actually like, I hit him with the body shot and you can actually like see him in the middle of the fight just go, whew. And I was like, oh yeah, I know what that means. I've had that before. So going into that second round, I knew I had to put the pressure on the jab, you know, be on the front foot a little bit more, because if I have him on the front foot, he's going to be, you know, explosive. He's going to be winning that fight. So I had to put him on the back foot. And then, you know, I love body work. So I knew if I hit him to the body, that liver shot, I hit him with the liver shot. And then I hit him with the uppercut that sat him down. But what kept him down was that liver shot. So I was like, that was the best thing. Like that last sequence, it was the body shot. And like, that was the finishing blow. It wasn't the uppercut. It was the actual liver shot. So, man, yeah, that's what kept him down.
You're seeing more of it now with the body work with some fighters. But I'll tell you, and I'm sure you've seen it in the gym a lot, and I've seen it a ton. There's guys you could hit in a bat in the fucking head, not going nowhere. You hit their body. It's, oh, my goodness. It's like a kryptonite. There's guys I've seen that just could tap a fucking chin on them. But it's not the same thing to the body. And more guys are figuring out. But like going in with this fight, you knew he was durable. Was that like a major focus, the body work?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like there was a couple parried kicks that I threw, and was throwing hooks to the body. And I wasn't even trying to aim for the head a lot of times. If you look at my main combinations that I really hit, it was the body work that was doing it. And I was like getting him to start lean over. And as soon as you start seeing it, he started like kind of moving his body. He started doing that little he started like shelling up, and when he shelled up, he started putting a big gap where his body, where he started separating himself, already trying to prepare and like move himself back from a body shot. But you know, I just have a good couple hooks to the body that I just love throwing. So it's like I'm used to seeing that, so I know how to adjust for it. But yeah, I saw it in him, and then I saw in a fight where another fighter has success with it. I was like, I'm gonna just use that and build upon it. And then the punches, like as soon as I saw him shell up, I was like, oh, I know how to deal with these with this high guard. I know how to deal with it. So I wasn't throwing straight. I was throwing like a little bit loopy, so I could find the way around his shell, and everything else on the side was open. So it was there. I took it.
What were you guys saying to each other after? I couldn't quite make out. Like you guys were kind of jawing a little bit after. What was happening after that?
He comes up to me and says, hey man, you know, I wasn't out. You know, I wasn't out. I was like, yeah, you were out. He was like, no, it was like, he's like, nah, you might've caught me with a good shot, but you know, I wasn't out. I was like, bro, you were out. He's like, I wasn't out, you were out. I was like, bro, you were facing completely the other way. I was like, then that's whenever they started like separating us and all that stuff. So, yeah. And then after that, he tried to say some stuff. I shook his hand, but I was like, bro, I got nothing else to say to you. I'm done. We're done here. You know, that's pretty much the extent of it, because he actually started trying to talk trash in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
In the middle of the fight. Yeah. You could see him jabbering his lips. And that's whenever you saw it, like, he started throwing more combinations and all that stuff, and he thought he was having success, but what he was doing actually doing for me was every time he threw a combination, it was leading for me like, oh, this is how he's throwing it. This is what he's doing. It just made that finish a lot faster.
When you want to play that, when guys want to play the heel, it's great when you're winning. Like Kobe Covington, but now a guy can say what he wants. He's beating everybody. Guy's a good fighter. But if you play that role and it doesn't go your way, And then when somebody's over you giving you the finger and this and that, it's like, hey, man, suck it up, buttercup. We talking no shit now, man. It's Adrian's night.
Oh, yeah. That was the sweet part for me, too, because like I know not everybody could see like me just telling y'all that he was talking mess during the fight. You know, it was like kind of like a little bit of a sweeter thing for me because I'm like, yeah, nobody else really knows that he was talking to me during that fight other than Kerry Hadley, other than the ref in there knew that he was talking mess to me. But yeah, he started talking to me and just every single time it just felt good. He jabbed. He was saying something. I, you know, uppercutted him, shut his mouth a little bit. So that felt good.
Yeah, that's got to be very satisfying. And what do you think about the rest of the division? I mean, Vera versus Dominic Cruz was announced. Marab against Jose has been talked about. And I know you want who do you want next? You said Sean O'Malley would be ideal for you.
Yeah, Sean O'Malley, Nate Maness, those guys, they called me out. And like, yeah, like three people called me out. Tony Kelly was one of them. Nate Maness and Sean O'Malley were one of them too. So, yeah, that'd be good. But also they're kind of booked. You know, Nate Maness, I think, fights this Saturday. Sean O'Malley fights next Saturday. So we got to see how those fights end up lining up for them. Because if Sean O'Malley wins, he's not going to take a step back and fight me. He's going to try to take steps forward and fight someone else in the top seven.
Right. I see what you're saying. So, but if he loses, maybe then all of a sudden you guys can.
Oh, yeah. I ride that wave, knock him out, and then just keep riding that wave even more, you know?
Adrian, how old were you when you met your late great trainer, Sal Solis? Pronounce his last name for me. I don't want to ruin it.
Solis.
Solis. All right. I didn't kill him.
Yes.
How old were you when you met him?
I was 18 years old. I met him just right after one of my – I had an amateur fight, and I was just doing jiu-jitsu, and I just knew I needed something else. I needed something more because like the place that I was at only offered jiu-jitsu. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I gotta find something else. Cause if I want to do MMA, you know, I gotta find the place where I can do it all. And luckily for me, I had Saul right down the road, you know, found Saul, got with him. And after that, you know, the rest is history.
It's so funny how water seeks its soul level. Like, I mean, He's such a great guy. I don't know if I ever told you. I'm sure Longo did. Did he? I don't know.
But Yeah.
Did he talk already?
Yeah. He told me. He showed me pictures, and it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy because I have a story. Like I have a quick story. Just because, like I remember going up there, and the reason why, like, because a lot of people would have said no. You know, like we're in the same division. Aljo asked, like, hey, can you help me train for Peter Yan? A lot of guys in my position would have said no. But also, like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get to go train with the best in the world. I might as well go. And I remember telling my training partner, like, man, I don't know if I should. And I started talking to him. He's like, man, like, no, like, I think you should go because Saul said, you know, those guys would be wanting to train with you because, like they're gonna ask for your help, and when that help is like when they ask for it, you go help them out. It's like, man, the champ is gonna ask for your help. I mean, they ask for your help, you go. And then I was like, yeah, because he specifically said either Peter Yan or Aljamain is gonna ask you to go out there and train. And I remember being like, dude, that was already nuts to me. And the fact that Aljamain had asked like, hey, you want to come out help me? I was like, oh, that was a sign. I was like, man, I don't know if I should. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going. Saul said one day this was going to happen. I went and I meet Longo, and I just was like, man, I already felt at home. And he starts talking to me about Coach Saul. And then he's like, man, I got a picture, and he shows me a picture. And like, I had to do my best not to cry in the gym because I'm in the gym. Everybody else is already working on stuff. I'm just like, oh man, like it's damn, like, oh man, I had to take a second for myself. And he starts telling me the story, and I was just like, man, like this is not, I don't know. I felt like destiny, everything happens for a reason. And I was there I was meant to be there at that time. And then whenever that happened, it was like, I think it was like close to like 3 weeks to 3 weeks to a month after he had passed. So I was like, that was another sign for me. So I was like, it happens for a reason.
Jimmy, what we're referring to, 15 years ago when I fought for the title in Houston, Texas, you know, everybody thought I was going to get destroyed. We all know that. And so, you know, it's not like everybody wanted to really hang out. Not that we weren't unpopular, but everybody's like, all right, this is not going to be the winning team. Saul, may he rest in peace. What a gentleman, dude. I tell you, I might get emotional now. He opened up his doors to us, man. It was beautiful, dude. He let us anything we needed, me and Longo, and it was just us at his place. And he was such a gentleman and so like he made us feel so welcome. And he goes, look, man, anything you need, anytime you need to get ready for this fight, because we went out there early, a few weeks early. And we did. We took him up on it. We were at that school like almost every night up until the week of the thing and the fight. And then, so, you know, and I didn't know Saul all that much. I knew him through the fight game. And he was always cool. Me and Longo was another, always respectful, but that shot it up another level. So every time I seen him since then, it was,
yeah.
Hey man, I appreciate that, bro. I was like, yo, thank you, man. And you know, he was just so cool, dude. You know, I don't know. We appreciated that. Somebody did something good for you when you don't forget it. And it's been almost 20 years.
Yeah, man. He did amazing. A lot of things for me. And he did a lot of things for a lot of people that even just stepped foot in the gym and everything. So like, yeah, he's greatly missed down here in Houston.
Yeah. And it's great. So I was happy when I found out that's where you came from and this and that. I'm like, well, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Nobody usually meets Longo and then is a student of Longo is a real prick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a bad example because Longo was Fuck, Adrian. Man. And Adrian, how old is your kid? How old is your son?
Oh, 6 months. He turned 6 months last week, man. He was there. Oh, dude, I was so excited.
Life-changing, right? It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely changed my life, man. Like I went this last time I went to New York. And I was like on a phone, I was on a video call with them every night, just seeing right before he get put to bed, man. I was so excited. And coming home, seeing him. And then this time right after seeing him after the fight, man, they got a picture of me just holding him. I didn't want to put him down, man. I was just, yeah, I loved it.
It's a very like a biological thing. It's weird. It's very, you know what I mean? Is that connection. And now at 6 months, oh, it only gets better and better because now I bet he's got a little personality. He's starting to develop his personality.
Yeah.
Right? He's smiling or he's being silly.
Yeah, man. We started getting him some solid foods and he just every single time. I don't know if because I love food. So I don't know if he's taking it after me. He starts eating the food and then all of a sudden he's done. He's just like so excited that he just ate food. He's like, he just starts screaming like you think he's crying, but he's just like, you look at him, he starts laughing. I'm like, oh man, I love this kid.
Oh, it's fun, man. It's so much fun. And people are like, oh, it goes by so fast. It's true, man. Tonight I'm teaching my kids class. I got my 13-year-old, my 11-year-old, and my 9-year-old daughter. They're all taking the class.
Oh man, that's amazing.
You got a lot of stuff to look forward to, man.
I love it.
Well, Adrian, I mean, before we let you go, I had to ask you too. Gilbert Burns reached out to you. And of course, he was asking for your Zelle, your Cash App, and you, I know you thanked him. Now, did he actually send you something?
Yeah, man. I was actually, I was actually with, Mick Maynard and my manager, Jason House, and like, we're standing around. Next, you know, my phone vibrates because I didn't want to accept it. Like, I didn't want to accept it.
Sure.
Like, he actually like, cause I had left him on read. Like I sent, I was like, man, you don't, I know you want like, man, thank you. You don't have to at all. And I left him on read for a little bit and he's like, no, I don't have to, but I want to. My phone starts blowing up and I guess he tweeted out saying that everybody on Twitter start tagging Giannis so he can accept the money. And it just got like, all right, cool. I sent him my Zelle and I'm with like the bosses in the UFC, and next you know, boom, I just opened up my phone and was like, oh shit, fucking Gilbert Burns just sent me some money. Like, oh wow, thank you. It's like, oh, so that felt really, really cool.
Was it
like,
more than $100?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was more than 100.
What am I confused about? What did you get money sent for?
Gilbert had offered to send him money because he was offering you money, I think, to knock him out because he didn't like, I think, what Tony said about Brazilians.
Yeah.
So Gilbert was very, very vocal and told you he'd send you money if you knocked him out, and then he fucking sent you money.
Yeah, I told him at the beginning that it was on the house.
You got a little bonus. You got another bonus from
Gilbert.
Yeah, I got that another bonus from Gilbert. Yeah.
More than 500? Was it more than 500?
Yes.
All I know is we're in the hurt business, and there's so many good guys in this sport. And I'm not saying the guy you fought was a bad guy, but when you fought somebody who's playing the heel, who's being disrespectful, it makes it that much sweeter.
Oh, yeah. It felt good.
Well, look, we're looking forward to seeing who you fight next. I mean, O'Malley, that sounds like a really – I know he said he's fighting next Saturday, so it's kind of close to when you fought. So either of those guys could be available to you in a few months if it goes as planned. And good luck, man. We'll definitely talk to you again. That was a great, great fight, a great win for you. And, I mean, your last three wins have been phenomenal. And I look forward to see who you fight next.
Man, thank you so much, man. I hope I get to fly out to New York here pretty soon. Man, want to go out there and train with those guys again, man. I talk nothing but great things every time someone asks me about them. Like, nah, we got to go. Like, I actually want to grab a group of guys to go down there because, man, I absolutely love it down there.
I hope you feel at home out here. And Longo even says, like, when you're sparring with Aljo Marab, he goes, yo, this kid knows. He goes, he's good and he knows how to work. Like, this guy's, you know what I mean? Like, you were giving the right looks, and you were just being a good, solid dude. You're not worried about how you're going to look. You're just getting solid, good work in. And it was really good, the camaraderie and everything. Anytime you want to come down, buddy, by all means.
I'm definitely one time just going to need to be preparing for a fight down there because I need that Matt Serra. Like, this is – oh, man, I loved it. This is the way, Aljo. That's all you hear in the corner. And I was like, man, like, it was hyping me up. I was like, I know he's not cornering me, but man, this is hyping me up.
Sometimes the sparring I have espresso right before I get there. And I'm just like, ah! I love it. Jimmy, you got to come down to a sparring one time. You're going to fucking love it.
I would love that. I would love it. Yeah.
All right, Adrian, man. Thanks so much for coming on, dude. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great talking to you, man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Let's bring in Jason from Panini Cards. These are really good. And I had these. And, you know, obviously, they're an advertiser on the show. So, of course, I wound up buying packages just because I liked it. I really am a sucker for anything collectible. And these cards are great. Hi, Jason. Sorry for the delay. We're having some technical glitches.
No worries.
I know, you know, we're just meeting, but I'm going to be totally honest. It wasn't technical issues. It was bathroom issues. I have a tummy problem. Jimmy's being he's covered.
That is a technical issue. Your colon.
It is true. Technically, he's right. All right. I'm sorry. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, dude. I'm excited to see. It's you know what's so – I like excitement. And this is very – I'm like a little kid. You did not want us to open certain packages
right
until we were on air. Is that right, Mr. Panini? No, I'm sorry. What do we call you?
I'm in a hotel, and yeah. I'm in Los Angeles right now, which is why I have this awful lamp behind me. Ooh. So I got a couple of envelopes. I didn't get – there's a couple of other cool things that came, which I didn't get because I'm on the road. So I'm actually looking forward to opening this and seeing what I got.
Okay.
And I'm saying this with no irony. I'm 53, and I'm happy to be opening an envelope with something in it.
Yeah, I love it.
What exactly is the newest thing you guys have right now? Because you guys always have really great stuff.
Yeah. So what you should have received was you should have received the debut version of our Donruss UFC product, which just came out about a week and a half ago. Lots of good stuff in there. You'll find, on the average, average box will have one autograph, one, insert, like a relic piece, a floor mat, you name it. There's over 60 different inserts of really cool looking cards. And then, the autograph to chase in this one is the Patty rookie card.
Patty. Yes. Can I open this now? Envelope number one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait, Patty, that's great. Anyway, hold on. Stop the presses.
I want to see what I got.
Wait, what?
I want to see what I got. I literally, it was so hard for me not to open this. I'm not kidding. Dude, I got a different package because I'm on the road, so they just UPS'd it to me. And it came up the other day, and I literally had to sit there and look at these envelopes and not open them. And I couldn't wait for this segment. And then you're on the toilet. I'm like, come on, let me open my thing.
Don't you put those scissors again. Do not open up anything.
I already opened it.
Opening, Jason. What am I opening?
This now, I think you're going to go with the box knot. Go with that.
Oh, my. I just opened it. A phenomenal.
Shut up. Oh, poor Jake.
Oh, this is great.
Oh, my goodness. It's another box.
I love it. A box within a box.
Wait, open this one now. I have to say it. Hey, Jason, what movie is this from? What's in the box? Hold on. I'll wait. What's in the box?
It sounds like a Joe Pesci movie.
No, it's a very bad impression of Seven. He was doing Brad Pitt in Seven.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You could have just said it was Brad Pitt in Seven. You didn't have to say it was a very bad impression.
I apologize. I'm just so psyched about what I'm holding in my hand right now. And I know I say that often, but this is really great what they sent me.
Let's go with the other box first now.
Oh, you got to be. I see. Oh, my God. This is amazing.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? I'm in the box. Come on, man.
Look at that.
Isn't that great? Matt Serra and Jim Norton. Jimmy. UFC unfiltered Panini cards. I can't believe I've never seen myself on a card. These are fantastic.
I almost just got deflated with all my – I got so happy to be on a card. I thought it was what I contributed to the UFC and maybe I knocked out a Frank Trapp. And then Jimmy picks up his card. I'm not Jimmy. This is
we have cards together. Isn't this awesome?
Why does it?
We both have cards. You beat GSP.
You guys made it so easy because you're so photogenic. So
I was the giant.
Thank you, Jason. I love this. I absolutely love this.
The biggest upset ever in Houston, Texas. I shocked the world. I don't absolutely. But don't get me wrong. Why am I complaining?
I don't know. You should be happy. This is phenomenal. Look at these. These are great cards.
Oh, the back's even better.
I can't believe my picture is on a card. I can't believe this.
Look too carby. I think I look pretty powerful.
I'll be honest. It's not a bad photo of me either. I normally hate my own photos. Oh, Jimmy, but you guys got a photo of me before I completely fattened up in the pandemic. So I appreciate that. I don't look as awful on this card as I do in person. So you guys got a good picture. I appreciate it.
Listen, we try. Color correcting and everything else. There's lots of magic our team can do.
Oh, yeah, you did. How many Photoshop experts had to fix my neck so I didn't look like a pelican? Well done.
I'll never disclose that, Jim.
Jimmy, I love that they got my Kimura Savage shirt.
I literally could not. If you would have given me 100 guesses, I'm not kidding you, I would never have guessed that Matt and I were on card. I never would have gotten
there
that.
You go.
What is it?
What's in the box?
Matt's off camera. For anyone just listening to this, now Matt's off camera. We're just looking at his chair. He's enjoying his gift. We don't know what it is.
Me. Oh, shit. I'm going to put my head together and make an S. It's me, everybody.
Is that a giant Matt Serra Panini card on a poster? Oh, that's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Oh, that is phenomenal.
I know what's going up with Serra BJJ tonight. That's great. I know what's making the Wall of Fame. That's BJJ tonight.
There you go.
That's fantastic. By the way, I hope that I got a Matt Serra one too. It would be great if there was no Jim Norton one. I just got a Matt Serra one, and I'm going to hang it on my wall. These are really great, man. These are really great.
And Jay, I'll be totally honest with you. We got this big thing. I go, I told my wife, but she's like, you're going to open it up in the room? Because I do this. This is my room. You know? She's like, I got to wipe it down. It's 30. I go, look, honey. I go, what if that's me as a Panini? I said that. I thought it might have been the pose with the, look what I did. That's when I won the title. But dude, I'll take this. I'm boss on that motherfucker. I love it. Where's Mr. Panini? I want to thank him.
He's in Italy.
Okay.
I want to ask you, what is this launch? You have a Donruss NFT. Donruss is a tremendously well-respected card line. I've collected Donruss cards over the years. They typically go up in value because they're always high quality. What exactly is this, and what makes these things so special?
So the NFT version of the Donruss product that we have on our website at paniniamerica.net/blockchain is our NFT Donruss packs. They're $10 a pack. This part's awesome is that in the pack, We've inserted three golden ticket utility tickets, and they unlock an experience to a VIP experience at UFC 278 in Utah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's some Willy Wonka shit.
Yeah.
Right now, only one of them has been found, so there's still two out there. You get a trip to UFC 278 VIP experience. It's $10 a pack. It could be in any pack. No one knows where they are. But really great opportunity to kind of, you know, get out and experience UFC in real life as opposed to in the NFT space.
Yeah, that really is like Willy Wonka. It really is. You're looking for golden tickets and they found one already. When is 278?
You're talking about Willy Wonka. I'm getting flashbacks of that poor little fat kid, Augustus. Augustus, get away from the chocolate lake.
August 20th.
That little August spoiled 20th, yeah. Fuck. Hey, anybody noticed that Willy Wonka was filled with a bunch of spoiled little shits?
Yes, except for Charlie. Yeah.
Charlie was fucking great. That little fat. All right, let's get back to business.
And that's why he got the factory, because he was the best kid out of all of them, right?
I guess I didn't really solve anything right here when I said that.
No, that was kind of the point.
Well known that he was the only good kid.
Yeah. But I've always wanted to create a golden ticket, and this is the first one we've created for UFC and just in general. So this is really cool, and we're excited to, you know, get fans there to experience UFC in person.
And there's 2 months left, so there's plenty of time to buy cards. It's not like UFC 278 is happening in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the contest ends in July because we need to make sure that we're planning the trip properly and get all that stuff buttoned up. But we'll have some other surprises that are part of that experience, which we won't share just yet.
Okay, so the contest ends in July, so people have about at least a month to go out and buy cards. And find one of these two remaining golden tickets.
And that's at paniniamerica.net/blockchain. It's only in our NFT Donruss packs, which are $10 a pack.
Okay. And also, what are the most valuable cards to date? Because you guys had some incredible cards floating out there.
Man, we've had some really good ones. I mean, Khabib is selling great. You know, Connor is selling great. All the guys that you'd expect to sell really well have been selling really well. You know, Patty, this is his rookie. This is this year's product for, you know, whether that's our UFC Prism product or our Donruss product or our Select product, which comes out later this year. You know, those Patty rookie cards will be the ones that everyone wants to chase.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, there's something about him, his personality, obviously his fighting is incredible, but it's like once in a while you see these guys come along and you're like, yeah, that guy's a star. That guy can not only can fight and he backs it up, but he's really likable. He's a fun. We've interviewed him. He's a really fun guy to talk to. He's just one of those guys you can see is going to be around for a long time, and is probably a future champion.
Absolutely.
Now, I will say this: I was hoping that this is what it was. I was like, they better not throw some Patty card in here. I wanted a Matt Serra card, and I got myself Matt Serra card. I got a Jim Norton and a Matt Serra. This is in my second envelope. They probably could have put this all in one envelope instead of getting me all excited, but I have a Jim Norton and a Matt Serra card. I honestly do love these. You guys made these just for us, or are they actually going to pop up in the boxes?
They made them just for you guys. Free to give them out to fans. You're free to do whatever you know, give them to your parents, give them to your wife, give them to your kids, you know.
I should give this to my girlfriend. I'll give her mine. And I'll give her Matt's and say, this is what happens when you don't care about how you look. And that's what happens when you do care about how you look.
Matt, why don't you open up a pack or two for
Matt? Oh, even another package for Matt?
Yeah,
well, Matt, open your box. Sorry.
Yeah, open that Donruss box and maybe open up one or two packs and see what. Yeah.
Oh!
Pull out one of the. When you open up that pack, when you open up that box and you open up a pack, pull out one of the cards and tell us about, you know, one of the fighters that you. One of the best fighters in your pack.
This I can't wait to see.
I won't know who it is. All, neither will them. But
oh, you got a whole box of cards. Oh, that's phenomenal.
You're like a little kid at Christmas here. I do.
Yeah, you do understand, Jason. That like it doesn't matter how old somebody is. Like when you get a box of cards like this, it really does bring you back to when you were a kid collecting baseball cards.
Absolutely,
this is such a great thing.
Yeah, and the great thing about this is our new UFC Donruss product. You can get it at Walmart and Target and hobby stores and online at paniniamerica.net. But you know, lots of great stuff in that product. Who do you got there?
I got Rafael DeSantos.
It's a nice
RDA and a very nice card. Look at this. Let me ask you, the stuff you have on the back, how do you find this stuff out?
We have a whole editorial team at Panini America that goes back and researches all the fighters and then writes the backs of the cards.
I like it a lot because it gives you a little bit about the guy.
Yeah.
You know, it gives a little background and it says what they're about. Let me look at another one really quick. Kevin Holland,
who there just had go. A
great weekend.
Yeah, tremendous, tremendous win. Tremendous second round win.
It's a nice picture.
That's great. What's the website again, Jason?
It's PaniniAmerica.net.
I like it. I man, let me tell you, this is so exciting. And I'm honored. Jimmy, I'm honored to be on a Panini card.
I am too. I honestly am as well.
Great way to celebrate your 600th podcast by, you know, maybe giving away, you know, a couple of those cards to your listeners on the podcast or something. So something to think
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we should do something like that. Maybe we could come up with something for like trivia or something. Maybe the guys behind the scenes can come up with something. I suck at coming up with things. By the way, did I show you how lazy I am? I just said, maybe we should come up with something. Like the guys behind the scenes can come up with something. I immediately bailed out because I'm lazy and I'm not good at that. But no, these cards are great.
I call that delegating.
That's true.
I'm delegating.
I do that shit all the time. I like to delegate.
Let's give them we'll have to give them an unopened package of cards. That's a great idea. So the guys behind the scenes, if you're listening, please come up with something. And you guys have all sports that you do. It's not just UFC. Okay. UFC are the ones that we're promoting because obviously that's our interest. But if you guys have other interests in other collectible cards, there's some great football cards here. So I guess you guys cover all sports.
Yeah. All sports, NFL, NBA. You've got an NBA draft later this week. So that's going to be a busy week. The new rookies will come into the league. On Thursday night, we don't know where they're going to go yet. But that's always a good night to see what happens with these guys. But yeah, super excited about our UFC product. We're, you know, in year two. Like I said, this release is our first Donruss release for UFC. So, you know, great heritage and history with the Donruss name, rated rookies in that product. Amazing parallels and inserts that are in there. Various, different backgrounds and types of things that you can find in that product, like the autographs. Like I said, there's one autograph per box, so there's in one of those packs you'll probably hit an autograph, Matt.
That's so awesome, man. I can't wait to go through them.
And I'm looking through your site, Jason. Obviously there's so much other stuff here as well, so you can go on the hunt for one of these amazing tickets for this fan experience at UFC 278. Buying a box would probably be the best way because you're guaranteed to get an autograph in there. And again, I'm looking at your site is phenomenal, PaniniAmerica.net. There's like stuff for the blockchain, all of these auctions are doing. You guys got rewards, you got releases, you have memorabilia. There's a whole lot of stuff on here. So UFC, I love seeing UFC up there with the NBA and the NFL. Like, I love it. I love seeing UFC mentioned in the same kind of banner as those sports. So congratulations, man. These cards all look great. And I'm not even an NBA fan. I'm looking at these cards and I'm looking at basketball cards and they're gorgeous. So you guys really, really do a good job and it's all high quality stuff. So thank you for doing cards for us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt and Jim, again, congratulations on your 600th podcast. That's impressive.
And thank you. It's Panini America, P-A-N-I-N-I. It's only one, P-A-N-I-N-I, America.net. Go there. And can you order stuff from here? Like you could order the cards themselves from here?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you're like me and you're lazy and you don't want to go to a store, because like you saw how fast I just pushed off the responsibility, order cards here. This way you can just sit on your fat ass at home and the cards will show up and you can feel like you went out and did something. Great. Congratulations, man. Very, very well done. And thank you so much for thinking of us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Matt.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So we should probably talk about a couple of more fights before we
Before we call it a day?
Well said.
Do you ever really call it a day?
Never.
Ooh. All right.
Let me ask you, and what did you think? Hold on, let me grab the card here. I closed the window like an asshole. Yes, buddy.
While you are thinking about what you were going to say, I'm going to say something. Cody Stamen. Cody Stamen versus Eddie Wineland. Oh, my goodness, Jimmy. Cody Stamen looked like a little freaking stocky little Mike Tyson in there.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know he won the Golden Gloves in his state.
I didn't either.
I always looked at him as like a wrestler because he's like built like a wrestler. But I think he actually has better credentials as with his hands, with his striking.
Yeah.
And now he's believing in it. Sorry. I need to know how to speak to the ship of 600 episodes. Anyway, Jimmy, it's fair to say he never looked better. And Eddie Wineland is the former WEC champ. He's a vet. He went in there looking in great shape.
Yep.
Man, when Cody got him hurt, just like with Adrian, when they got them hurt, they did not just empty the clip like haphazardly. They were laser focused with their shots, were very accurate. And Cody just knocked them into next week. I never said that before.
No, but it's pretty accurate. I actually felt bad for Eddie. I mean, not for losing the fight, but that was a very fast and devastating loss. And it's funny, you said Cody Stamen. I was going to say Jeremiah Wells. That vicious knockout of Court McGee.
First time he's been stopped, Court McGee.
Is it the first round? Is it the first time he's ever been stopped? I didn't realize that.
I'm going to say it's the first time he's known for his durability.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the first time in years, but you might be right.
They could look that up. But I'll tell you, you think after the right hand, he was out of trouble because he did a left, a jab that caught him, a right hand that missed, and then think he was in trouble. That left came from Guam, and it landed right. Oh my goodness, that's not getting anybody out. I don't think anybody's down. You can have a chin like granite. He right on the end of it. Oh my goodness, it was beautiful technique, and again. That Daniel Gracie team at a PA, those Philly guys.
Yeah.
He has, I believe, just as much submissions as he has wins.
The last one before this was a rear naked choke, I think. Well, and by the way, you're right. It was Court's first stoppage. You're right. First time he's been stopped.
Goddamn right. I'm right.
Yeah, I assumed you were, but I wasn't sure.
So what am I ever wrong?
Well,
sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Let's see. I'll tell you when you're wrong. Same way I'm wrong. We both had Cater picked. I thought by a decision, 3-2, I figured it'd be very close. And I was almost right. I was almost right, but one judge saw it differently. I kind of thought Josh Emmett won the fight. I picked Cater by a very close decision, but watching it, I could have lived with either decision, but I was kind of glad to see Josh Kennedy after that fight. I thought that he threw bigger punches, maybe did more damage, even though Cater probably landed more.
Cater had beautiful jab working, man.
Yeah.
But Josh was really, I'll tell you, he was pretty fearless in there.
Like, yeah, he was.
No, Cater, I was like, man, when's Cater come in with these elbows? And Cater had a hard time getting the timing down those first couple of rounds. You even like you hear his corner being like, yo, what's up, man? What's going on? Basically, like, I'm paraphrasing, but like, tell us what you're feeling. And then he's like, yo, and then he answered back, yo, he's loading up. So maybe he was like a little hesitant because he thinks he's loading up to hit him back. But then he started finding his rhythm. He started getting his distance. And it made it that much more exciting because it wasn't just going one way. It looked like it was going one way after those first two rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Cater started finding his own distance and timing. And it just made it that much more exciting. So of a night of great fights, it was a very, very good main event. And again, I'm with you. It went with Josh. I'm totally okay with it. If it went the other way, I would have been totally okay with it.
Yeah, it was because, again, Cater did land, I think, a decent amount more. Joaquin Buckley over Albert Duraev. I mean, that was a good stoppage. Obviously, his left eye, I think, was shut. Yeah. Joaquin Buckley looked really, really incredible. So congrats to him. That was a great fight. And I was happy they stopped it. They were speculating that they were going to stop it at the end of the second. They were like, I'd be surprised if they let him come out. And they made the right move, I thought.
I'll tell you, remember Joaquin Buckley was calling out Darren Till. And then him and Combs out with backstage, and Combs is like, who's that guy? And he's like, I don't know. And I don't know. I think people are starting to know who he is now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's good at grabbing kicks, too. I mean, it wasn't the highlight, But he did. He grabbed one of Duraev's kicks. I just made a mental note because he seems like he's really good at doing that.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Gregory Rodriguez supposedly has phenomenal grappling. We know he does. But, dude, he believes in his striking now, and that's a fucking problem. Because when Gregory was going after Julian Marquez, you know Julian. He's the one who likes – he's the big
– the Cuban Missile Crisis, right?
Yes, yes. And he likes – what's her name? What's that singer? Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
He does. He goes out to a song. It's nice. Anyway – Julian, he started towards the end of that first round or during that first round, he started to try more. It is the problem. He couldn't get the respect. He couldn't get the respect from Gregory. He couldn't get the respect from Gregory Rodriguez to keep Gregory from coming forward and just throwing on him.
Yeah.
And landing on him. And hurting him. And he couldn't give him anything to say, all right, you better get away or this. No. He was trying.
Right. Yeah.
And then he would get hit again. And it was just, and when he would get hit, it was one of those things where he's getting punched and he's flying across the cage. It was crazy, man. But then it's like he made a decision with himself saying, all right, if this is the way it's going to go, then I'm going to go out of my shield. So I give him credit because he tried. He tried to get in that mix and make it dirty. And unfortunately, Gregory knocked him out. But
yeah,
I'll tell you that Gregory Rodriguez looked just looked menacing. He looked so confident. There's nothing Julian could do to get his respect. He's like, take this, that. And he's like, he puts his arms up and he comes forward. Oof, oof. Not exactly like that.
Not exactly. But the tone was right.
Yes. But I'll tell you, how could you not be impressed with that? Oh, I skipped over Demir and Guram. We had Guram on the show.
Split decision, yeah. Kutadaladze and
that could have went the other way. That could have went either way. That fight. That was a close fight.
It was a very close fight. It was one that again I was okay with it, but it could have went either way.
Hey, I thought Guram had it, but you know maybe I was a little biased because he was just on the show.
Right, I can never tell either when it's a close fight. Like if I haven't met either fighter, the one guy I've interviewed who I might like a little more just because I've spoken to him, if it's that close, do I lean towards him just because I like him?
Hey, Jimmy, I know this fight went to decision, one of only two on the card, on the prelims. Maria Oliveira.
Yes.
Gloria DePaula. There's no loser in that fucking fight. There is, technically, because Maria Oliveira won, but that was a great fucking fight. These girls were ferocious.
Yeah.
That was a fun fight. And I'll tell you, those girls were getting me amped because Maria Oliveira is jumping in with a flying knees and throwing combinations. And after the first round, it was so competitive that they both got up and they gave each other like a hug and they put their hands up. It was like, what a fight. What a fucking fight, Jimmy. What a night of fights. The whole night was amazing. You know, I can't say enough about it.
It's literally one of the best fight cards I've ever seen. It was one of the most exciting fight cards I've ever watched.
And we should mention Natalia Silva.
Yeah.
Fuck. That was great.
Yeah.
You add to it?
Yes, it was a great fight.
Jasmine Jesuda Vicious.
Jesuda Vicious.
Let's call the whole thing. No, guy.
Silva Jesuda Vicious. Yeah, it's not easy to say.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
Yes.
It was a good fight, a really good fight. But Natalia Silva looked phenomenal. What a night. What a night. What a night. What a night. Fight of the night. Honors go to Josh Emmett and Calvin Kattar.
Yeah.
Performance of the night, a lot of them, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Too many. Everybody got one.
Holland, Buckley, Rodriguez, Adrian Yanez, Jeremiah Wells, Ricardo Ramos. Cody Stamen, Hawes, and of course, Roman Dolidze. Incredible. Just it literally is one of the top to the bottom most exciting cards. The stoppages, the decisions. One of the most exciting cards I've put on that I can ever have seen.
One of the most exciting cards. But you want to know the most exciting card?
I was going to hold up mine. Thank you very much to Panini for doing that. It was nice.
Do I look husky in this? Do I look strong?
Half the card is off the camera.
Jimmy, let's hang up. Listen, I had so much fun with you.
Yes, and thank you to Adrian.
Jimmy, it doesn't feel like 600 episodes.
No, it doesn't. It feels like 1,000, but it was a lot of fun.
I'll talk to you in a couple of days.
All right, buddy.
Wait, no. Plug something, young man.
I'm away for the week, so I'm not doing New York. July 22nd, 23rd, I got Denver. And then every Wednesday in July, I'm going to be in New York at the Fat Black Pussycat and the last Wednesday in June. So if you want to come see my hour in New York, come see it.
SarahBJJ.com. That's it. I'm on Cameo. I like to have a good time. Jimmy, I'll talk to you soon, dude. I love you so much.
All right, pal. I love you. I'll see you soon.
Bye, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.